This is a special presentation of Gen Con 2010, brought to you by the Gamers Haven Podcast at gamershavenpodcast.com and the Vorpal Network at vorpalnetwork.com.
These are...
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. Huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com. Or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
This is Ethan with the Gamers Haven Podcast. I'm here with Mr. Clint Black from another one of our favorite companies, Pinnacle Entertainment. How are you doing, Clint?
I'm doing great, Ethan.
Excellent, excellent. What is it that is going on for you guys at Gen Con this year?
Well, at Gen Con, we're really excited in that we have pre-release copies of the new Deadlands Player's Guide and Marshall Handbook with the fold-out map of the Weird West. That's mm-hmm. a brand new map. And we have, surprise, surprise, pre-release copies of Space 1889.
I know, and that's something a lot of people have been talking about. We had a guy run that at our at CantCon, our local con, so and it went very, very well. Sadly, I don't think we got it recorded, but you know,
lovely problems with recorders on that. But well, it's a great setting. I mean, we've loved it for years. Frank's original setting is just a classic of RPGs, and the chance to be able to do it with Savage Worlds is just a dream come true.
Yes, excellent. Well, what is it that you do for the benefit of our listeners?
Yeah, I am officially the Savage Worlds Core Rules Brand Manager for Pinnacle Entertainment.
So this is the man. The man, other than Shane, I guess.
Other than Shane and Joel.
And Joel.
And then Matt, who's the Deadlands Brand Manager.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the fourth or fifth tier man, I guess.
But you have a very impressive title.
I do. It's very long.
It's very hard to say. Well, what is it that a brand manager does?
I basically have a hand in anything related to the core rules, mm-hmm. which means I help the guys that are working the rules for the other settings on occasion,
right.
but primarily I work on anything related to our core system, mm-hmm. like the companions, the fantasy companion, the superpower companion, our upcoming horror companion,
mm-hmm.
those things.
That's the next one coming out?
That is the next one coming out. As a matter of fact, we have a little show over there of what's coming up on our poster of Last Sons, the next plot point for Deadlands, and the horror companion.
Very nice, very nice. Let me ask you, I just had a question pop in my head and now it's gone. Darn it. Quick, deer in the headlights.
This can all be edited out.
Yes, it can. Well, that would mean I have to edit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, I've been wanting to ask you, the Savage Worlds Explorers Edition, okay? You guys sell that for $10. How is it you keep that down at a $10 price point? Because it's brilliant. Brilliant marketing.
Shane and his family only eat once a day.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's how we keep so thin and svelte. Okay.
That is. I have no idea how he does that, really. I mean, it's just really a great way to get the core mm-hmm. book out there. I mean,
and obviously that was a conscious decision to sell that for $10.
Yeah. I mean, the traditional philosophy has always been that your supplements support your core rule book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with us, our core rule book supports everything else
right.
that everybody does with it. That's
right.
that's what you need. And, you know, we've always said the Savage World, it's a core system, not necessarily a generic one, because you're going to add your own setting-based flavor rules to it. But you've got to have that core system to start off with, and then you pick the other thing that's going to go with it. So, fortunately, with that, the Explorers Edition at $10, with the basic rules that you need, you can pick up, you know, our other Explorers Edition setting books for $20 and basically have a whole, all the mechanics and the setting for $30.
Mm-hmm. Which is, and they're all the same size. I mean, so for those of us that are anal retentive about our bookshelves, you know, so it's like, oh, hey, well, we can put all those together and they look good.
Well, that goes back to the core idea of Savage Worlds at the beginning is Shane didn't want to lug around a whole lot of books.
There is that.
So now actually making them smaller means you can lug a couple of extra if you need to.
Exactly. Plus you guys have full PDF support and keep your stuff in print that way too. I mean, you have your full back catalog of Savage Worlds stuff, Deadland stuff, all that stuff is all on PDF.
Yeah, you can gain all that stuff, and as a matter of fact, even, I mean, the classic Deadlands material is still available in print. We've gone to softback on those, but they've been reprinted, so they're available for anybody that wants them. It's still out there. I mean, classic Deadlands is pretty much covered as far as what you need rules.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to put out any more rules.
No.
And if you want to play the original, the continuation of the plot point, all you have to do is pick up the Flood, pick up Last Sons when it comes out, and play it using classic.
Right. Excellent. Well, now let's talk a little bit about you, Clint.
All right.
What kind of a background do you have? What got you into the gaming thing?
Oh. I started gaming, you know, years and years ago. I mean, I can have the classic background story of picking up the red box.
The red
set,
box,
yeah,
okay.
You know, and you know, take anybody else's background in gaming and kind of add it in there. As it stands, it's like back in the 90s, I decided to do some stuff professionally.
Sure.
And the first thing I ever wrote was I wrote an article that was published in White Wolf Magazine, actually, when I was living in Georgia, where they're based. And as it turns out, I found that was actually my first connection with Shane, because Shane had a review in the same issue that I did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
And we were both in that same issue. And then later on, I got involved with Pinnacle and started working with them and, again, submitted for the epitaph for the original Deadlands at that time.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And had a real nice article published with that, got a lot of acclaim, and then was on the mailing list. And Shane offered, I worked on one of the Weird Wars D20 supplements, Horrors of the of World War II, and just a few minor things like that, and the Savage Worlds was in its infancy, and Shane was putting out early test drives so people could see what was going on. Well, it happened that we were both at the same place in our life. What he was designing the game for, based off where he was at, you know, having a family, having a job, not having a lot of time, prep time, I was at the exact same place. And it just hit on all cylinders for me. And on the mailing list, I posted that I ran a scenario. I created up stats, just came up with whatever I thought, did it, whatever, and Shane said, "You've hit it. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be."
Nice.
And invited my wife and myself to join in on playtesting. And from playtesting, it went into development on the original core rulebook.
Excellent, excellent. Well, one thing I'm going to try to ask as many people as possible is one thing Gamers Haven's all about is spreading the love of this of the tabletop hobby and how awesome it is. What is it about this hobby that keeps bringing you back? Why do you love it so much?
Socializing with the friends. I mean, sitting down at a table with other people. You know, that's what it's all about. I mean, really, it's the only, you know, the time that you get to sit down, have all of these elements that are in the game to begin with. I mean, from role-playing to tactical combat. I mean, to have all of that in the game.
game. I mean, a role-playing game. Where you've got the game element and the role-playing element. That's the balance I like, and that's what I like about Savage Worlds. Personally, you know, that balance is within the system. That's why different systems work for different people. They all have their own balance. But getting down, sitting down at the table with friends, old friends or new friends that I haven't even met yet, you know, that's what keeps me in it.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time, Mr. Black.
Thank you. We are shaking hands.
We are shaking hands. This is good radio.
Good radio.
Celine from the Gamers Haven podcast. We're doing a demo for Digit from.
Hello, my name's Alex.
Want to play?
I played it.
You played it? Want to try it?
We own it.
Own it. Okay, so just a quick run through of what the game's about?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, as you can see, all the cars contain pictures. They're all unique cars with pictures.
Yeah, I like the big.
Basically, the way it works. Is that everyone's going to get 6 cards.
Okay.
And during the game, there's going to be one player who plays the role of the storyteller.
Okay.
And the role of the storyteller alternates between the players, goes around the table.
Okay.
So what the storyteller does, they'll be looking at their cards, and they're going to pick one as an inspiration for a clue. Now, this clue can be anything. It can be a song, a single word, a grunt, a phrase, 3 or 4 sentences. It can be absolutely anything.
Okay. Right?
Once the clue is given, the storyteller puts card that inspired them face down on the table. Right?
Oh, so you give a clue of what the picture is?
You use the
picture
card to inspire you for a clue. Right? Now the other players, what they're going to be doing is they have their cards and they're going to be they'll try to pick a card which has something to do with the clue or somehow reflects what they heard.
Okay.
And they'll be putting that card face down on the table. Right?
Okay.
As all of the players do that, the storyteller picks up the cards. And the storyteller is going to go, all right, laying out the cards on the table one by one. This is card number 1, card number 2, card number 3, card number 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
Once those cards are laid out, the players are going to try and choose the card which inspired the storyteller. Right? You have these little chits here made out of cardboard. And we will do with a secret. We'll choose a chit that will reflect our choice face down on the table. Right? Secret ballot. Right? So say you think it's card number 3, we'll pick card number 3, and put the 3 chit down on the table. Once everybody votes...
And you're bidding for...
No, you're trying to pick the card that initially inspired the storyteller.
Okay.
So we reveal our chits simultaneously.
Okay.
Now the scoring is really what makes the game.
Okay.
Right? Because if everybody picked the storyteller's card, that means that the storyteller's clue was way too obvious. Right? In that case, the storyteller gets 0 points, and everybody else scores 2 points.
Okay.
The inverse is also correct. That's to say that if nobody picks the storyteller's card, same thing happens. 0 points for the storyteller, 2 points for everybody else, because the storyteller's clue was way out of logic.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What the storyteller is trying to do is to give a clue which will draw some people towards this card, but at the same time is obscure enough that they will pick other cards as well.
Yeah.
See, in that case, the storyteller gains 3 points. Those who pick the correct card also score 3 points. And also there's an additional scoring mechanism which encourages people to play cards which are very similar to the, or at least have something to do with the storyteller's clue. For every vote that is attracted to that card, to your card for instance, you would score a point for every vote that you pull away.
For pulling the wool over people's eyes.
That's right, exactly. And that's basically the way the game works. The storyteller rule goes around with it.
So for the cards that you put down, you don't have to, you shuffle them first.
Yeah.
Is it minimum 3 players then?
It's minimum 3 players.
I'd say
ideally, six. The game works way better at 6. 5 also works well.
Okay.
4, I'd say, is not. I'd say 3 is better because you, at 3 players, what you can do is instead of putting only 1 card down, you can put 2 cards down.
You can put 2 down?
Yeah. 4 is sort of that nether zone where you can't really do that.
Okay.
There's not really enough players. Yeah. But actually, you guys want to try? Dixon?
I want to watch. I don't want to try.
We need players. We need players.
You have to be creative.
Is it okay if I keep recording for Gamers Haven?
You don't mind my voice.
Okay.
You guys want to play?
I'm not wanted by anybody, so I think I'm all right.
I want to watch.
Oh, you want to play?
I don't want time commitment.
I know you want to play.
We haven't started yet, I assume.
I'm going to steal these dark bridges.
Is there a new one coming out of this?
There's an expansion. Actually, it's a new set of cards, essentially.
Okay.
With the same rules, just more pictures?
Same rules, more pictures, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have to be creative?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right.
You can do it.
I'll try.
You can do it.
It's rough.
All right. So we'll just try the score. Okay, here we go. We get 6 cards each.
She'll be my partner.
Awesome.
You may look. Oh, that's right. I haven't explained the game to you. Okay, basically, as you, I'm sure you've noticed after looking at your cards, all these cards have pictures. Right? During the game, right, one player will be declared as a storyteller. Right? And the storyteller, what the storyteller is going to do is going to look at their cards and go, what can I say? What can I use? What can I do? Because they'll be using the card as an inspiration for a clue. Right? Now, this clue can be anything. It can be a word. It can be a grunt. It can be a song. It can be 3 or 4 sentences. Whatever inspires you, right? Once you say your clue, you take the card that inspires you, bang, face down on the table.
Okay.
Now, the other players, after having heard your clue, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be picking a card that most closely resembles or has something to do with what they heard.
Okay.
And you'll take that card and put it also face down on the table. All right. Now, what you as a storyteller, what you're going to do is you're going to take all the cards, all right, and you lay them out on the table. All right, this is card number 1, card number 2, card number 3, card number 4, card number 5, card number 6. Right? In this case, because you're only 4, it'll be only up to 4 cards.
Okay.
All right, so you have to 4. The other players, what they are going to be trying to do then is try to pick the card that you use for inspiration.
Okay.
And we're going to use these chits here to reflect our choice.
Okay.
Say, all right, say I think it's number 3. I'll pick my 3 chit and put it face down. We're put some chit face down on the table.
Okay.
And then it's real simultaneously. Now, the scoring is really the way it really makes this game, right? Because you have, what happens is that if everybody picks your card as a storyteller, it means that your clue is way too obvious. Right? You will score 0 points, all the other players score 2, right? Inverse also applies. This is to say that if nobody picks your card, okay, you're way out in left field. It doesn't make any sense what you're saying. So you score 0 points, everybody else scores 2. What you're trying to do is get some people to pick your card and some people to pick other cards.
Right.
In that case, those who pick your card will gain 3 points. You will also gain 3 points. Those who pick the wrong card won't gain any points.
Okay.
There's one additional exception to this, though. Is that those who played a card that drew away votes will gain 1 point.
Okay.
So that encourages people to play cards that are similar to the clue that you've given.
Okay.
You can mislead other people. That's basically the game works. If you play around, you'll see it's very snappy.
Snappy!
But I'm going to change my cards.
Yep.
Also, very important, the scoring track.
Oh, I'll wrap it.
Little bunnies?
Little bunnies.
Little bunny food.
Everybody loves little bunnies.
Of course.
Okay, so we are 4. They'll be pink. So yellow. We got green on the table. We have blue. And we have pink. This card pile.
That's not easy. I'm already nervous. I can't figure it out. I'm looking at my cards.
Cards. I have way too many options.
I'm just going to describe what's there, and y'all are, oh, that's obvious.
You won't. Remember, it can even be one word. It doesn't have to be
anything. Yeah, right? Anything.
So we'll start with you as a storyteller.
I go like this so I can see the screen. Huh.
I'm like, I'm standing there.
Oh,
I got one. Alright, I got 4 of my cards, please.
Alright. And so I choose a card, put that down, and then everybody. Okay.
But you gotta tell us what it is.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Slicing through the chaos.
Slicing through the chaos is our clue.
Wow. Do we have to go in order or can we just lay them down?
Lay them down like your card.
And just lay it on top of hers?
You can lay it wherever you like.
I guess she's got
to be shuffled and whatnot.
Slicing through the chaos.
This is why you probably shouldn't play this game, Steve.
No, I was.
I might have been too obvious.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take our chits here and pick the number on the card that you think is the one that she used for her sentence. You take that chit and you place it face down in front of you.
Okay.
I think it's this one.
Okay.
Sorry. Made your choice. All right.
Sorry.
We all picked card number two.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Is that what the, okay.
So which card is your card?
It's two.
It's two. So everybody pick her card.
That
means that she will score 0 points, we will all score 2 points.
It got
too obvious.
I thought I was close there. I might help you out.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't work.
We were looking at ours and we're like, no, we don't have anything.
And the bunnies all hop 2 points.
Cute.
Okay. So these cards we put away. End of the game is once we go through the deck. Nice.
Okay.
Okay, so we all refill our hands, back up to 6 cards. Good turn.
Okay. Either one will do.
Okay. Renewal.
I'm sorry?
Renewal.
Figuring out what to say.
Okay. miserable.
See, I was out of that one. I didn't.
Although this one is pretty good, too, because that's reminiscent of the Olympics kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking Statue of Liberty going under, and I'm like, okay, that's...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I figured that one would steal all the... Huh. I'm just gonna whoever did this one gets a point too.
I voted for this one.
You voted for that one, so
yeah.
That's blue and yellow.
And I guess that's yours?
That's an extra point for...
It would be Scrum.
Who's who Scrum is?
Yes.
Gee whiz, I don't have any idea. My brain's starting to smoke.
Everybody gets his. He doesn't move. We at least tie. she hasn't done yet.
Oh.
She knows our game.
Do it again.
No. Sorry. A massive undertaking,
that's
huh? Massive
undertaking.
Oh my gosh, she has chits. It doesn't matter that she doesn't have people.
Yeah, she's going to be such a great.
Saving podcast. I'm here with Chris Engel, right?
Yes.
Engel with Hamster Press. Fine people who do the Thunder Hamsters and the Temple of Cheese and apparently Mongolian Goat Rodeo. What do we have here? We have the Tomb of the Hungry Dead Dungeon Matrix game.
Okay. This is the new stuff this year. This is a dungeon folio game. So it plays in about a half an hour.
Right.
Four of the players are good guys. One player is the bad guy. So you can see that it's weighted heavily against the bad guys.
Right.
So the first part of the game, the players go into the dungeon, beat up the bad guys, take their stuff.
Mm.
The second part of the game is back at home, and you get a certain number of actions to make your life up as you're going along at home.
Okay.
So it's a campaign game.
That you play in 30 to 60 minutes.
The first part is about 30 minutes. The second part would be about 30 minutes.
Okay.
And then you can play again and again and again.
Very nice.
Now, what's unique about these games is the mechanic, where when you walk into a room, you don't ask the game master what you do or what happens. You tell the players a little story about what happens.
Right.
So you say, well, I beat up the skeleton, and he falls over, falls apart, and I see a magic ring, which I immediately take.
Right.
And then you pick a player to give you a reality check.
Sure.
And they tell you a number you have to roll on 2 6-sided dice.
Uh-huh.
If you succeed, cool, it might happen. The next player can add to that, can contradict it, or do something else. Then they get a reality check. And after everybody is gone, you can agree that all of the things happen, or you have everybody roll, and the high roller is the decider for that turn.
Oh, okay.
And they can say, no skeleton or magic ring, you did find a magic door, and no, you're not going to get gold for just standing there. The other new game that I have is Guilty Moneybags, which is a murder mystery.
Okay.
In this game, one player is the good guy, the detective, and five players are bad guys, and one of them killed Old Man Moneybags.
Okay.
Same mechanic.
Right.
You go into a room, and it gives you a hint about what kind of clue you're going to find there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good guy wins if nobody gets arrested. So, of course, the bad guys won't let that happen. Which means the bad guys are the ones who solve the mystery by pinning it on one of them. So these games are all about messing with your friends.
Very nice.
Straightforward, everything you need to play the game is right there, and it fits on a bookshelf at the end.
Very nice.
So, anyway, that's the new stuff, and I have lots more.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I'm going to do a series of Cthulhu adventures, just like the dungeon games. You're going to go off and kill the cultist and go crazy, and then the inner game is going to be the real plot to destroy the world.
Right.
Or gathering your sanity back.
Or gathering your sanity, sure. Or which can be both at the same time, really.
Yeah.
In Cthulhu.
So, Anyway, it's the first day of Gen Con. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, so am I.
I'm not too exhausted yet.
Yet being the operative term, yes. Come Sunday, all be zombies.
Yeah.
Which will be the next Matrix game, I'm sure. Zombies.
Oh, I've already got that. That's all playing right. This convention, Voodoo Beach Party.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
This is Celine helping out the Gamers Haven, and I'm here with some gentlemen from Crafty Games who are going to introduce themselves so it makes it easier. And Reality Burst. So.
Hi, I'm Alex Flagg.
I'm Sean Preston. I'm here with Celine.
Yeah, I'm Patrick Cabrera. Hi, Celine.
All right, so who wants to start with trying to get their swag out there?
Oh, sure. I'll be happy to. Iron Dynasty is our big new release. In two words, it's Samurai Steampunk. So you can have bamboo mecha, katanas, magic, and good stuff. It's currently out for Savage Worlds, but we will be bringing it out for Fantasy Craft in the spring.
Sweet. Savage Worlds settings, everyone's interested in those over at Gamer Shaman.
Yes. You guys should love Savage Worlds, but you should also equally love Fantasy Craft.
Yeah. I've seen Fantasy Craft. I haven't actually picked it up yet. It's tempting. But
yeah. So our big release here at the show is we released the second printing of Fantasy Craft, as well as our first supplement for it, The Time of High Adventure, which is a set of three kind of big adventures, including kind of a Tomb of Horrors.
Okay.
We just added. We'll be demoing here at the show.
And what's the level range for that? Or is it...
There is no level range. Our game,
okay.
Yeah, our Fantasy Craft operates without levels. Levels are kind of added at the end. So
oh,
you can
okay.
play. You can
it's
fight,
customization for it. Okay.
Yeah, you can fight orcs at 20th level that are just as terrifying as they are at first.
Okay.
So yeah.
Or dragons at first level.
The big brothers. You ate all the little brothers.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and then we've got some other Fantasy Craft products coming out later this fall. But yeah, these are what we have here on the show.
Okay. Do you have anything?
Coming out this fall, we've got Spellbound, which is our spell compilation, nearly 900 spells, about 12 or 13 different classes, and a bunch of new rules. And the Adventure Companion, which has three new settings, Greco-Roman high fantasy setting,
Greco-Roman high fantasy espionage setting.
Sun Chaser, which Alex describes much better than
I do. It's Lord of the Rings on the Mississippi.
Okay.
It's a river delta
yeah.
setting. And Epic, which is a Conan love song in an ice glacier world with demons.
Yeah.
All right.
That's kind of it for us.
All right.
Attention now.
Yes.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking
about. We do know what we're talking about. You know, we called the whole Hugo Weaving Red Skull thing, remember?
Oh, right. Fine. Where was it? The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about all kinds of gaggles.
Aaron, could you cut it with the gaggles thing? It's not working for me.
All right. Fine. The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games.
Yeah, don't forget that we talk about, you know, Bruce Campbell and Christopher Lee, obviously.
Natalie Portman.
All right, guys! I'm trying to do a commercial for the Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games, tabletop gaming, all kinds of other geek stuff.
You mean that show we broadcast on Ustream?
Yes!
Wednesday, 8 Central Standard Time.
Right, at redphonezone.com. Now, can you guys just give me a minute to get this promo done?
Sure, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
All right, from the top. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone.
Aaron, we need a tiebreaker. Okay, who would win in a fight with Galactus?
Anti-Monitor.
Galactus and Anti-Monitor. Come on.
I think the more important question would be who would win in a fight between me and you two idiots.
I guess we don't know what we're talking about.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.